But in Isaiah chapter number 6, starting in verse number 1, the Bible says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." And that's really where we need to see the Lord, amen. We need to see him high and lifted up. It says, "And above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. And then if you'll go over to Exodus chapter number 3 with me. Exodus chapter number 3, a calling upon Moses' life of returning to Egypt and having a message there for them to let my people go. But his response unto God's calling upon his life at first was a little bit different than what Isaiah's response was. And Exodus chapter number 3, starting in verse number 1, it says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I." Drop down to verse number 10, and it says, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And Moses said unto God, "Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Two different responses with the calling upon their life to lead people, to be able to give a message. And it wasn't Moses' message, it wasn't Isaiah's message, but it was the message that God wanted them to be able to give and to be able to share. I want to deal with those responses this morning. Here am I, or maybe the response of who am I? Let's bow to word prayer. Father, I just want to say thank you for this time that we can meet together. Father, I pray that you would help me this morning to be able to bring across your word as you would have. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning, and Father, I pray that you would just use the life of Moses and the life of Isaiah here for our admonition and learning. Father, I pray that you would speak to me this morning. Father, I pray that you would just fill this room with the Holy Spirit's leadership and guidance. Father, open our hearts to your word this morning. Father, I know that you're the only one that can be able to have the ability to do so, have the power to do so. But Lord, I pray and plead with you that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you'd help me to be sensitive to Holy Spirit's leadership this morning. And Father, that it would be your words, your thoughts. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us this morning. Protect our minds, protect our hearts. Lord, we love you. But it's only because you loved us first. Thank you so much for the gift of salvation. And once again this morning, I pray, Lord, if there is someone that's lost or not sure of their salvation, Father, I pray that you would work on their hearts. Father, I pray that there would be something said that you would bring across, Lord, that you would help them to realize the need of a Savior in their life. Father, help us, those who are saved, Lord, that we would rejoice in the fact of what you've done in our life and to be able to share it unto others, how that he can change their life too. Father, just do a work that only you can. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We see the two responses here, and as I mentioned a while ago, I can really relate to the response that Moses had at how at first he's coming to this burning bush that was really not being burnt whatsoever, and only God would have the power to be able to do that. But he's looking, and God's calling out, saying, "Moses, Moses," and Moses said, "Here am I, Lord." But when it got down to exactly specifically what God wanted Moses to do out of his life, Moses just kind of looked and said, whoa, who am I, Lord? Not me. Do you understand who I am? Do you understand that I'm just but a sinner? Do you understand that I'm just but man? Who am I to lead these people out? I just came from there. I just came out from there. I murdered this man. And we'll get into a little bit more of these details of Moses' life. But then we look over at Isaiah, how that his whole outlook upon his calling, how that he saw God high and lifted up. And God was asking, who will go for us? Whom shall I send? And Isaiah had this surrendered heart saying, Lord, here am I. Send me. And that ought to be our heart's desire this morning, to have the here am I, Lord, send me. No matter where it might be, no matter where I might go, no matter the predicament you might put me in, no matter the struggle that you have, my trust in you, here am I, Lord, send me. Whenever God was calling me to the mission field over to Papua New Guinea, there was a time whenever I remember being at a missions conference, and it was actually in St. Clair, Missouri, over at Pastor Smith's church. And Brother Holland, a missionary that's out of our church, and he's stateside now because of his health, that he was speaking of the fact that he wished he could be able to go back to a village called Kapi. He was crying and saying, Lord, I wish I could just go back, but I am not able to because of my health, and I wish that someone would be able to go back there. And I remember being in that service saying, Lord, let that be me. God, if you would be willing, let that be me. In a sense, kind of like Moses saying, Lord, here am I. Let that be me. I didn't realize God was actually calling me to the mission field of Papua New Guinea. Because God began dealing with my heart, and we went on mission trips over in Papua New Guinea, and God was saying, listen, I want you to go. And I was just like Moses saying, whoa, I can't do that. What if there was an emergency? How would I be able to take care of this? How would I do this? How would I? Instead of putting my faith and trust in God's calling. Listen, missions is all about putting our faith and trust in Him, is it not? It's about Him calling us or leading us in an area or direction to someone to be able to share the gospel. It's about putting our faith in Him to be able to use us in the ministry. Listen, everyone might not have the same calling or the certain area, the same place, but listen, He wants to be able to use each and every one of us in His ministry. And what a great honor it is that God would be willing to call me. God would want to use me. Brother Riley, God would want to use me to His mission field. Why me? God Almighty could have done anything, but why me? Listen, I was a wretched sinner, and I still make faults and failures. I still make mistakes. And listen, He still wants to use me to share the gospel. But oftentimes we use that question of why me, and it gets in the way. Why me? Lord, there's no way I can do that. I'm not going to surrender my life. Can you use someone else? Moses was sitting there telling the Lord the same thing. Lord, I'm not a great speaker. Could you use someone else? It's amazing how that God uses those, and whether we realize it at the time or not, but how God uses those that He's already been dealing with them. He's already been growing them. Moses had already knew how to present himself there in Egypt underneath Pharaoh. He knew about those things, and God wanted to use him specifically to go back and to say, let my people go. I've always found it very, in a sense, humorous how the fact that how God uses people in the ministry, how that He changed Paul's life, how that he was Saul persecuting the churches to now he's saved and born again, how God wants to use him, and now he is Paul starting and planting churches. Only God can do that. But we need to have our faith and trust in God that He can use us. Listen, we do have inabilities, but we are able to then have faith and trust in Him that He will be able to use us. So I want to look at these two responses and understanding the very fact that they had the same message to give unto the people. They had the same source of the message given to these people. The message was given by God. The message was to be given to His people. The message was to be led and brought forth unto the people, saying, let my people go, or telling the nation of Israel, listen, you need to stop sinning and turn back to God. That is the message, to go to the people in this world, to go and tell them, listen, you need to turn to God before it is too late. That's the message that's needing to be given. The message has been going all through the Scriptures, even in the New Testament, and today the message is no different. The message has always been the same, that we need to turn back unto God and repent to Him. Look in Exodus chapter 30 and verse number 10. It says, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." God made it known unto these men and made it known even unto Isaiah, "Whom shall I send?" Listen, there is a message that has to be brought forth. There is a message that I am wanting to tell these people. There was an awareness there that God made it known unto these men that there was a need that needed to be dealt with. We dealt with some of that and all throughout this missions conference and all throughout this week of dealing with the fact that there is a need to be able to tell this message. You and I are aware of this message. It was the message that changed our life this morning. It was a message that showed us a need of a Savior in our life. It was a message that showed us that God is the only one who has the power to save us. It is not within our works. It's not something I can do. It's not something of I can earn, but it's something that He's already done for me. How He shed His blood on the cross of Calvary, that is the message that changed my life. And it will be the message to change someone else's life as well. But they were aware of that, that there was a need. You know, sadly, sometimes I believe that we put needs kind of on a scale. When God is wanting us to go to that need or God is wanting us to share something, it's almost like we kind of put it on a scale to see if it's really all that important. And we put our luxuries, our activities, our hobbies, and those things kind of on a scale above those needs sometimes. Well, this is a little bit more important to me. This is a little bit, listen, I need to fulfill my need. Listen, those things that we think is a need are just temporal. Those things are going to burn away one day. Listen, those things are not eternal. But listen, the need is to be able to go to someone so that they can have eternal life. That is the eternal need out there. Listen, we need to have a great understanding of who God is and the honor and the privilege it is to be in His service. Do you consider it an honor to be here in His house this morning? God, thank You for giving me a place. God, thank You for giving me Your Word. God, thank You for using the foolishness of preaching to be able to manifest Your Word to us. God, I want to say thank You for that. God, it is such a great honor that You would even have a place for me to go to hear the preaching of God's Word. Lord, thank You so much. There are places that don't have that. There are places that don't have freely the Word of God given to them. Listen, we take advantage of those sometimes. Being aware of the message here given to us, and God, thank You so much for sending someone to give me that message. God, thank You so much for sending Your Son to die upon the cross. When's the last time we just got down upon our knees instead of saying, "I need this," and "Lord, will You give me this?" Lord, will You lead? When's the last time we just got down upon our knees and said, "Lord, thank You for the gospel. Thank You for saving me. I was a 9-year-old boy just wanting to get baptized and get testimony of salvation. No, I'm going somewhere with that. This is not a missionary we need to support." But that's all I wanted to do. I just saw people get baptized into the waters, and I thought that would be fun. So I did what I thought I knew to do. I said a prayer. But God kept working on my heart. God gave me chances that I didn't deserve. And understanding, He's saying, it's not your works that can save you. It's not about you. It's not about what you can do. It's about what my Son did on the cross. It's about what He did for you. And I repented of my sins at the age of 20 and trusted Christ as my Savior. Listen, this morning, it's not about you. It's about what He's done for you. Praise God for that. Their awareness of the message, their awareness that there was a need there. I had a need in my life. Lost souls have a need for in their life. And we need to see that need. I want you to look at their answer next of all, that they were aware of this message. They were aware that there was a need there. But in verse number 11 in Exodus chapter number 3, it says, "And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go into Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Both men were now fully aware of the need. Both men were fully aware of the message that was supposed to be given unto the people of God. And God called out to these men, and Moses says, "Who am I?" Not me, Lord. That's the attitude that Moses was having here. He would present many excuses here in just a moment. We'll see that. But he said, who am I? Lord, not me. Surely not me. Obviously, it was Moses. God was calling Moses for a purpose. God was bringing forth the question, whom shall I send, given forth to Isaiah for him to surrender his life unto God. Here am I, Lord, send me. Why do you think God's calling you? Why do you think each and every time you come to services, you hear a message about being sent forth? Maybe there's God's calling some men in this church to go into the mission field, to go into a certain place. I don't know. God knows your heart. But why is God specifically telling you that? And we're sitting here in back saying, no, surely not me. No, God knows. God knows who he wants to use. God knows where he wants to send you. God knows your flaws and your mistakes that you've made in your life, your past and your... Listen, God knows those things, but God wants to use you. God wants to use you in certain areas, your job, your school, your neighborhood, your home. We learned about that, and maybe God wants to use you in another country, in this country, wherever it might be. God wants to use you. But are we putting our faith in that call? Or are we saying, Lord, who am I? Lord, not me, not today. I find it interesting how God places people in certain time frames. God didn't place Paul here in this generation. God didn't place David here in this generation. God didn't place Jonah. Jonah was placed in the days of the Ninevites. God called unto Jonah to go to Nineveh to preach the word, to cry out unto them. Cry out what? The same message. To repent, change their ways before they are destroyed. And Jonah, first of all, ran from it. Was caught in the well, and the word of the Lord came unto him a second time. Go to Nineveh. I don't want the word of the Lord to come to me a second time. I don't want to be like Moses and Jonah to eventually follow God's call upon my life. I don't want it to be a Christian that just says, eventually I will do this. Listen, you might be lost here this morning, and I believe that's probably the most dangerous word that we would use is sit there and say, listen, I will eventually come to Christ. I will eventually make that decision. I will eventually go down to the altar. I will eventually answer the call upon my life. The thing is, you might not have that time to eventually do it. Our time is not in our control. I say our time. His time is not in our control. God's calling now. For salvation, today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. Now is when God wants to use you. Now is when God is calling you. Now is when God wants you to answer and submit to his will. The answer to Moses was, no, I can't, at first. The answer of Isaiah was, of course. You've done so much for me. I'm seeing you high and lifted up. You took my iniquity away from me. You've cleansed me. You've purged me into your blood that has washed me white as snow. I am willing to do anything for you. God, you deserve so much more out of my life. God, you've done so much for me in my life. Well, our answer ought to be, our response ought to be, of everybody's response ought to be the fact, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? God, there's nothing too hard. God, there's nothing, no distance that I wouldn't go for you. You went the distance for me. You faced many things on that road to Golgotha. You faced being betrayed. You faced being beaten. You faced being mocked. You faced all those things that we probably can't even fathom, and only that we know through the scriptures of what he went through, but I believe still we don't truly fathom all that he went through. Came down and lived in flesh, came down for you and I, that he would do it even just for me if I was the only one here on this earth. You did that for me. God, is there something I can do for you? Lord, I know it's just a small thing, but God, I want to do something for you. That ought to be our heart's desire this morning, our answer. God, I want to be able to do for you. It's not an answer just for a pastor. It's not an answer for a missionary, even though we're all to be a missionary. It's not an answer for a priest. Listen, it's all of our how our response should be. God, I want to do anything and everything for you. God, I love you. And listen, don't be afraid to sit there and say that. I remember praying and saying, I would never sit there and say, I tell God I love him, because I'm afraid that it won't be true. But there's nothing wrong in being honest and open with God, knowing your heart because of the assurance of the Holy Spirit, saying, God, I love you. God, I'm devoted to you. God, I want to serve you. But Moses' answer at this time was, who am I? And eventually followed with God's plan for his life. I believe Moses had some peer pressure in his life. If you look over in Acts chapter number 7, it's amazing in studying this, seeing the answer that Moses gave. Who am I to lead these people? Who am I to bring forth these people? And it's amazing whenever Moses was in Egypt, how he killed the Egyptian, how he killed them, and the answer that was given, he went back out, and how the people responded to it was the very same thing that Moses used in the answer to God. But if you look at Moses. Don't turn to Moses, okay? That's not found in the Word of God. Turn to Acts chapter number 7. In verse number 22, it says, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that he was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, put himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, sirs, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, and listen to this, who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at the saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? Who are you to rule over us? And when God called Moses to go back into the land of Egypt to let my people go, what did Moses say? Who am I to lead these people out of Egypt? Now, it doesn't specifically say, but I often wonder if the phrase going in his mind whenever God's calling him, that phrase that they were telling him, who are you to do anything? Who are you to be a ruler over us? Thinking that Moses is saying, God, who am I to be a ruler over them? Too many times we allow peer pressure when God is calling us, thinking about what maybe our friends would say, thinking about what maybe it would take, thinking about what will my family say? If you only knew just some of the phrases that we have heard of being surrendered to the mission field of our family, our personal family, those closest to us, you're crazy. You're crazy. Yeah, I am crazy. I want to be crazy for the Lord. But peer pressure, sometimes we don't want to, because what might my family think? Will my family sit there and say, well, I'm not going to talk to you anymore because of what you're doing, what you've decided to do? My wife's father and family, you know, I had a conversation with her brother, and how that he kind of got upset with me. He said, "What? How are you going to protect her over there? How are you going to be able to take care of your family? How are you going to be able to take care of my nieces and nephew? How are you going to be able to do these things? You married her to protect her. You married her to do these things." My answer was, it ain't no different than what I'm doing here. Trusting in the Lord and putting my faith in Him and leadership and trusting in His protection for my family. Now, obviously, there's some things that on my responsibility and my behalf to be able to do some things to protect my family, but I can't do that without the Lord. I can't do that without Him. But I can't let peer pressure, I can't let those questions that are coming, I can't let those things that are different, the Lord's calling, to sit there and say, I can't do it, Lord. I don't want people to get mad at me. I don't want people to think I'm crazy. I don't want people to think any different of me. Listen, we're supposed to be a peculiar people. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to look different than this world. I struggled with these things in my own life. And sadly, I eventually answer to God's call. But I want to encourage you this morning, don't eventually answer to God's calling. Don't let peer pressure, don't let those things deter you from doing what God wants out of your life. doing something that's serious, doing something to share the gospel into others. Listen, that is a serious message. That is a serious task. It's not something to be taken lightly. It's not something to joke around. It's not something to look at and just kind of thumb our nose down upon it. No, it's serious. Especially as we're seeing the days get more and more wicked and getting worse, and seeing, I believe, perilous times, and seeing that the Lord is very near, drawing very near to His return. And we need to do exactly what the Lord told us to do, is to redeem the time. Not waiting. Often wonder of how many times that I rejected and saying, no, Lord, not today. Not surrendering to an activity in church or a position here or doing this. How many seconds were taken off? How many minutes were taken off? If I would have sat there and answered right then and there, how much more of an impact could have been made? Sometimes it may be too late. But listen, we need to understand the seriousness of it. And I want you to look at their ability. Isaiah saw God high and lifted up in chapter number 6. Isaiah, it says that the coal was in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and laid upon my mouth, and said, lo, this man touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Isaiah knew he was a sinner. Isaiah knew who cleansed his heart. Isaiah knew where his salvation came from. But his eyes and his heart was upon the Lord. I can't do nothing, but the Lord can. I have no ability within myself, but God has all the power. I am nothing, but He is everything. I believe when we truly understand that we are nothing, we'll truly see that He is everything. Moses' eyes was not upon the Lord's calling. Moses' eyes was not upon his ability and his enablement. Moses' eyes was upon himself. And he was measuring whether or not he would answer to that call because of his own inabilities. God didn't understand, I'm not a great speaker. God didn't ask for him to be a great speaker. God didn't understand, I'm not a Bible scholar. God didn't ask him to be a Bible scholar. God, do you understand? I'm not a professor. I'm not a pastor. God didn't ask him to be a pastor. God said, I want you to go and send the message. There's some things in my life that I looked and said, I think I need to get better in this area and better in this area and better in that area. Listen, we're striving to be perfect, but God's not calling for us to be perfect and then to do His will. Listen, I believe there's some things in our life that obviously that needs to be taken care of. Don't get me wrong. But listen, if it's calling it, then we'll never answer God's calling. God wants us to see that we are weak, that we're nothing, that we are but just flesh, because He wants us to put our faith and trust in Him, in His calling, in His message, in His mission, that I would just be a tool in His path, in His ways, that I would just be used of Him and an honor to be used of Him. Moses said, I am this, I am that, I am this, I can't do that, I this and I that. Instead of saying, Lord, You can, Lord, You are, Lord, You have, Lord, You've done. Listen, let's not look at ourselves and our inabilities and our weaknesses. God can use those weaknesses. God can use those times. Listen, He wants us to humble ourselves before Him. He wants us to be in humility. God even told Moses, listen, I will send Aaron to help you. He's given us someone to help us, to lead us. He's given us the Holy Spirit. I don't know what to say when it comes to door knocking. I don't know what the first things I should say. The Holy Spirit will be with you. I'm not a great speaker. The Holy Spirit will be with you. What if I forget something? Not that it ought to be, okay, this is what I say, check it off. No, what if I don't recall something? What if I don't know what to... The Holy Spirit will be with you. Faith. Trust in His calling and in His enablement. I'm reminded of a song, and I probably won't get the words correctly, but it has been going through my mind a lot of times when we're going down the deputation trails and being on the mission field. He is able. He is able. I know He is able. I know my God, He is able to carry me through. He's able. He's able. And if He's able, you're able. But it's only because of His power. It's only because of Him. The Bible talks about that with men, it's impossible. But with God, it was mentioned this morning in prayer, but with God, it's possible. Let's look to the impossibilities and see God work through those impossibilities and see the possible outcome, to see what could happen. Instead of looking and saying, I can't do that, but what would happen? Would this happen? That might happen. Instead of looking at that possibility of what would happen, let's look to God and see what could happen, what He could do, what He can change, how He can use different things. My wife and I, going through deputation, and listen, I'm sure the other missionaries and pastors could understand more so and tell stories of stepping out by faith. But I've, thankfully, Lauren has helped our faith to grow and grow and grow each and every time going through deputation. There was a time where I was asking the Lord, we were on part-time deputation, asking the Lord, Lord, I need to know when You want me to resign my job. And my mindset, I was trying to be assured of some things, and I thought, well, I can finish out the end of the year, and maybe there'll be a time where I might not be able to get some meetings, and you know what, I'll just finish it out and just draw a little bit more money from my job. My pastor looked at me and said, did you really pray about that? I said, well, of course. He said, no, did you truly pray about that? No, I didn't. I was looking at how I could be able to help us along the way financially. And I got down on my knees and I asked, Lord, Lord, please help me to know. At my job, there's a posting. And I don't want to be long and drawn out, but I want to be able to share a testimony with you. There's a posting on the wall of when a certain time that you can use your vacation days during the holiday months. And God was really leading in my heart about a certain day. In October the 11th. I don't know why, just looking through the calendar and just praying to the Lord, Lord, show me, and it, that date just kept coming to my mind. And I said, okay, Lord, let it be known if that's when You want. That posting shows a certain time period. Usually it starts in a certain month and then it ends at the end of the year when you can use that time frame. And highlighted on that post, the time frame started October the 11th. Okay, Lord, that's quite simple, pretty blunt. Came home, talked to my wife, and I said, I'm stepping out by faith in a sense, and Lord has showed me, and I don't know why October the 11th, but I'm resigning my job October the 11th. And my wife said, do you understand that? I said, you're not going to see it on paper. God will help us through. And I asked her this morning if to be able to share with her faith and growing her faith in the ministry. She would tell you this morning, I could not see it on paper. And I kept telling her, you're not going to see it on paper. You're not going to see it on paper. I resigned my job, November and December, filled up with meetings. And God used those meetings to help us to get through the next 6 months. My wife looked at me and said, well, I see now. Stepping out by faith. That's what missions is all about, stepping out by faith. God asking us to do something. God calling us to do something. When we look at ourselves and see our own inabilities and our own weaknesses, it began to say, Lord, I can't do that. We're not stepping out by faith. We're not trusting in God. Remember Abraham and Sarah, whenever they were told that they were going to have a child, they laughed at it. There's no way. Why? Because not putting their trust and faith in God. Listen, if God's calling you this morning to the mission field, step out by faith. Because trust me, when you step out by faith, you'll see God do so many things that you would never have been able to see before. I've seen God use us. I've seen God do things in other people's lives. I've seen God do things that I would never have been able to see before if I didn't step out by faith. Step out by faith. God's not calling me to be a missionary. God's not calling me to a certain position. No, but He's wanting to use you in evangelism. Step out by faith. Go to your break room. Go to your neighbor. God will use you. And it might not seem like it's being used, but God will plant a seed there. And you'll be able to see God do more things that you've ever been able to see before. Let's step out by faith. Hear my Lord. Please, please send me. Not, God, who am I? I can't do that. Yes, we can. With God's help and God's enablement. There in 1 Timothy, how Paul told Timothy, I'm so thankful he called me into the ministry. Why me? God had a purpose and a plan, and so, Lord, here am I. Please send me. Amen. Pastor McDowell.